California.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing? It's a lot of information thrown at you. How are you doing? I would suggest that you all stand up. Please stand up for a second. And this is just a very Asian cultural competent way is to get our chi moving. And so please chop yourself. And get the blood flowing. And then you can sit down and let me throw more information at you. So I really appreciate the presentation prior to mine, because you really set the stage, and I really applaud you for being interested in Asian American studies, because it's not easy. We are a small population, we don't get a lot of attention. So I do appreciate it coming from a non-Asian perspective.
Yeah, I think I'm the only blonde in here, right?
Yeah. And also all the talk about stigma and taboo and the cultural competence barriers, because it is such a challenge working in our community. So I am the Associate Director of Asian American Recovery Services, and it's a community-based organization. We pride ourselves in working with the community, and we are the leading agency in substance abuse counseling. Being a community-based, I really didn't start out this project thinking about research at all. Okay, we were thinking about, hey, we're going to engage the community. That's what we know, is that in order to work with our community, with our individuals, we have to work with families and communities. We are not, from a worldview perspective, we're not an individual. The individual is not the unit for society. The family and the community that is the unit. Okay. So when the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation opened this RFP, Vulnerable Refugee Immigration Population Portfolio, we decided to choose the Vietnamese population. I'm Vietnamese myself, born and raised in the war, evacuated here, both people. And there are 100,000 of us in San Jose, California, and the largest congregation of Vietnamese outside of Vietnam. So we're one of the newest population. And each new population has its own challenges. We received a 3-year grant, and so we're right at the midpoint. And they provided us a lot of technical support, so I just want to acknowledge them first. I also want to acknowledge our staff. Tram is our program manager, and Phoenix is a community engagement specialist. As you can see, we put a lot of emphasis on community engagement. Halfway through the project, 6 months ago, we felt like, wow, we should evaluate this. This is so exciting. So then we talked to Professor Han in San Jose State, and she has given us a lot of guidance for evaluation methods and findings. And by the way, if you want to stop and ask me questions, feel free. I'm more of that conversation style than lecture style. So the project, when we created the project is called Tâm An. Tâm is heart. And is peace. So our outside world has been dominated by war and oppression and authoritarian regime and authoritarian families. The father is highest on the totem pole, the man is highest on the totem pole. All kind of difficulties that people have to live through. And so for that, in order to really transcend so many difficulties outside, we needed inner peace. And that's why we call this project Tâm An, is a peace of heart. And we have 3 goals. The goals is, number one, to increase awareness of mental health and substance abuse. Awareness. Because, why? Because, like you said, taboo, stigma, what do we believe? I mean, I live in the community. I grew up in the community, so I know what people think. We think that having a mental health issue is almost like a sin. We must have something wrong. It's a punishment. And you have to live through that. You have to purify yourself through it. Same thing with Buddhist karma. Last life, I must have done something wrong. So in this life, I have to suffer. If I have a child who has a mental health problem, I'd hide him at home because it's too shame-producing. I have to save face for my whole family, not just me. So it's an indication that I didn't raise my kids properly. You know, there's all kind of belief that is in the way of us acknowledging as well as getting treatment. So our goal was to reach 3,000 families through this media approach. We wanted to improve access to mental health, increasing referrals, and also we want to improve overall mental health and social functioning. And as you said, mental health, that's not a good word. You cannot, people don't come when you say mental health. So we translate it, we want to say behavioral health, we want to say cognitive health, we want to say emotional health. All of these things make sense, but not mental. Mental means you're crazy. Crazy in the head, nobody want to talk to you. You have to live outside. You can't be part of us. You are high-functioning people, normal people, right? So we worked a lot on wordings and how to reach people, how to bring that into the open, how to be sensitive, how to be culturally responsive. So we created, and don't be too focused on the slides, because it's kind of too busy. I breached all the rules of making PowerPoints. Way too many words. But I was so excited, and I thought you could keep that for later, even if we discuss today. So we have two-prong approach. One is, on the one side, the Robert Johnson or any grantor wants direct service. So we have to work, we have to provide direct service, we have to go to the school, we have to identify the kids who need help, and we have to identify the family, and bring the parents for support group in Vietnamese and all of that. But on the other hand, we also believe strongly that the only way to make a dent is to work with other partners, other agencies, and the community. And so, on the school side, we did a lot of things that a lot of people have done in the past. But on the community side, we identified two ways to reach out to the Vietnamese community. Number one is local Viet newspaper. A lot of people are monolingual. They do not speak English, or they live in their community. They either work in the salon, beauty salon, or car garage, and they don't have to interact in English. So they read the news in Vietnamese. And then the radio. The radio is constantly on in Vietnamese homes, at work, nail salon, car garage, sewing, people who do sewing, homes. My staff say the Vietnamese phone radio is on all the time for their parents. We work with faith-based Buddhist temples as well as Catholic churches. And we had a forum, a community engagement forum, which sounds very much like what you did in the Filipino Mental Health Initiative. We brought in, so last year we did in June, we had a we had 200 families come and hit different tracks and popular theater. So here are our partners. So we were doing all of that. We were getting really excited about our media and our radio shows. And then Robert Johnson said, "Like, how do you know that you're effective?" How do I know that I'm effective? I don't know. You know, I can't talk to everyone, and people don't like to fill out forms. They are very mistrustful of anything that I have to write or authority figures. And I talked to the radio station, and they said this radio station is too small to even gauge the listenership. So they say 3,000. When I engage with them, they say 3,000. But how do I know it's 3,000? Mm-hmm. I don't really know. Obviously, the people I talk to who listen to the radio say it's good. But I mean, this is only anecdotal, which is actually really good anecdotal. Because, for example, I had a mother call in and said, "My son, who is 16 years old, I think he's experimenting with drugs, but I don't know, so can he come?" And this is the first time we have someone like that. Usually, Vietnamese kids are caught in the system before we can treat them. Nobody brings them to us. They don't self-refer. But this is the first time a mother brought a son in, so that's a big deal. But really, what do we need to do to evaluate this? So I talked to Professor Han, and she said, let's see what she says behind this. This is not what she said, but let me give you a little perspective. So she said this is very significant because we have a lot of problem in our problem because of the war trauma, because of post-migration acculturation, because of intergenerational conflict. That is the biggest problem we have. Two generations. I was raised in Vietnam. I raised my kids the way I was raised, which is like weeds. and we don't talk, and my kids want to have privacy. What is that? What is privacy? I never had privacy. They want independence. They want to have their own lifestyle. They want to marry who they want to marry. What is that? So it's a word upside down. Like you said, they have very little study about cultural competence. And this is just giving you more information about Vietnamese people, and that's just... and the discrepancy between substance use and utilization of mental health. Mm-hmm. That is very important. Because when I go to my county and ask for more money, they say, why? Your people don't use our services. We only, our data show only 10% use our services. Why do you need more money? You know, but the fact that they don't use our treatment does not mean that the problem is not there. So we believe that we are practice-based evidence. We do things that work, but we're not documented anywhere. So now we have to document so that we can become an evidence-based practice. Okay, so this is what Dr. Han said. She said, she suggests to use a theoretical model called community readiness. What is community readiness? It's based on the premise that that you can determine the level of readiness to tackle an issue, and that there is different stages of readiness. And based on the stage of readiness, you can determine what is the appropriate strategy to tackle the issue. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, for example, the Tri-Ethnic Center for Prevention Research has a model with 9 stages. Anywhere from no knowledge, the behavior is normative and accepted, my son has mental health, that's okay, he can stay at home, I can take care of him until I die, and there's no problem. Okay. Then denial, vague awareness, pre-planning, preparation, initiation, stabilization, confirmation, professionalization. Okay, so those are the different ways that you describe the stage. And for each of these stages, there are strategies that are appropriate to the stage. So if you're just, the people have no knowledge whatsoever, then you have to do radio, certain things to outreach. If people really accept mental health, then you can have programs to provide services. So what did we do? We decided to have a focus group and to talk about all of these in order to determine where we are in the stage. And we had a focus group, and this was the detail of the focus group, and everything is in Vietnamese, and I have 2 minutes left. And we asked a lot of questions, and the focus group feedback is, theme number one, it's a very cultural sensitive issue. Number two, the program has increased our awareness. Number three, it is important to continue the program. Number five, we need to do more active planning. So these are the focus group's recommendation. Then we have Dr. Han read, we translated all the discussion. We have Dr. Han, who is Korean, read, and she determined that we moved from level 2 and 3 to level 4 and 5. So now that we know that, how is that helpful? MHSA money is coming up. MHSA is Program Decision 63, where we get money from all the people who make more than $1 million, they can pay tax for mental health. MHSA is ready for prevention dollars. Santa Fe County is gonna get $20 million. What are we gonna do with this? We need to acknowledge this is where our community is, so that they can design the right strategies. And that's basically it. I don't think I need to go.
I'm sorry, how many people participated in the focus group?
Focus group is only 7 people. We went into depth more than a number of games.